I was not in my comfort zone, crushed up against the window. Mastana's village was a 3-hour bus ride from Bejnat. I was already sleep deprived, and now I was having caffeine withdrawals as well. Somehow, our host had interposed himself between Dave and me on a seat designed for two. His fruity body odour poisoned what little air was available. I gripped the chrome seat rails for balance until my hand was almost amputated, loose seat back snapped shut around a bend. The engine was in a commensurate state of disrepair, crunching into bottom gear for the steep ascents, sliding into neutral for the downhill sections, and refusing to go back in. Like a runaway felon, the bus loped away down the precipitous hillsides, while Mastana explained to Dave that the practice saved on fuel. I was already quaking in my boots when suddenly, out of nowhere, a mass of glistening white rock loomed into view, blocking out the sky. I'd never seen mountains until that moment, the Himalayas. Everything else was just pretending. After our harrowing experiences of Pakistan, India was bliss. We fell into the relative comforts of quality hotel, like defeated cormorants abandoning our migration. The sheets were clean, no drugs lurked under the mattress or inside the drawers, for which we could later be busted, and the restaurant served scrambled eggs on toast, just like our mothers had made it. India was an English-speaking country, a member of the Commonwealth, and there were gum trees everywhere. It was home, with an exotic twist. Mastana struck us as a deferential, self-effacing little fellow, anxious to make our stay as pleasant as possible. Wearing nothing but a white dhoti with a ragged woolen jumper over the top, he plumped up our pillows, brought us steaming trays of chai, and listened in horror to our tales of woe. He was disgusted by the actions of those deceitful Pakistanis. "They are all being thieves and rogues," he said. "Why are you not coming to my house? I am having a very big family. Come and be seeing what is the real India." The real India. He'd pressed a button. 2 weeks and several hundred kilometres later, we rose from our beds at the crack of dawn and said goodbye to the enchanting Tibetan village of McLeod Gunj. Harnessing our backpacks, we hiked the 3 kilometres downhill to Lower Dharamsala and caught a bus to Bejnat. From there, Mastana would escort us to his home. If we'd known what we were in for that cool spring morning, we'd have turned over and gone straight back to sleep. But we weren't to know, and the real India beckoned. The man who'd become Mr. Chaos Mastana, "You can be calling me Chaos for short, isn't it?" could not stop talking. Loudly. It was necessary that the entire busload of sari-clad peasant women, beady-smoking labourers, and ancient bearded elders heard him. Only the feral children who clambered over people's shoulders and laps to ask for lollies or vomit out the window managed to ignore him. Leaving Bejnat, he elbowed us both in the ribs, pointing out a Hindu temple. "Please be observing this temple," he said. "It is built in a single day by 5 brothers. "Really?" We stared out the window at the moss-covered edifice, as though it somehow might authenticate the tale. Chaos was not satisfied with our response. "What you must be knowing," he said, "is that these 5 brothers are all being married to the same woman. They are all sharing her, isn't it? Sharing this same wife." Honking with delight, he slapped his thigh, looking around at the other passengers to see if they'd caught on. The journey continued. With Chaos exuding foul odours beside me and talking at the top of his voice, I could feel a headache coming on. Dave badly needed a cigarette but couldn't reach his bag. Gritting our teeth, we steeled ourselves for the journey. 3 hours was not that long. The road flicked like a serpent between rising bluffs, each steeper than the last. From time to time, it flattened itself against a steep hillside, tipping the bus sideways. Other vehicles passed us on narrow mountain gaps. Oncoming passers had to reverse back to wider sections or cling to the edge as we inched past. More than once we were caught against unfenced escarpments, dropping hundreds of metres into a river gorge. Indifferent to jeopardy, our fellow passengers erupted into coughing and groaning, sneezing and spitting. Some of the ancients voided bowels and bladders or spewed into handkerchiefs and folded them up again, as though secreting a precious jewel. My headache worsened. The bus stank of shit and urine and bile. Dave had gone a horrible shade of green and I was only just holding back my own emetic impulses. Closing my eyes, I tried to pretend I was somewhere else. Then a child's dark-eyed face appeared above the seat in front and vomited across my knees. After what seemed like more than 12 hours than three, I glimpsed terraced green fields amid tall deodar forests. "We are to be shortly arriving," announced Caius. I felt myself relax. Soon we would arrive at Mastana's. There would be somewhere to wash. I could pull out a change of clothes from my pack, brush my teeth, and do my hair. There might even be some of the piping hot chai we'd missed out on 12 hours ago, or three. Restful eucalypts brushed past my window, making me nostalgic for home. Fantasizing about hot baths and clean sheets, Harris tea and toasted Vegemite, I tried to catch Dave's eye. Immediately, Caius, a.k.a. Mastana, leaned forward and blocked my line of sight. "You are seeing my land now, isn't it?" he shouted above the din of the bus. "I am having all this." He gestured towards the window. "This also, and this," pointing to the other side. "Really?" Dave asked. "It's all yours?" "Yes, all of it." The arc of his wave encompassed everything we could see, the fields plunging downhill on the left side of the bus, the broad flat meadows on the right. Later, I would realise he was probably pointing out lands collectively owned by his family, his male kin, his father, father's brothers, their sons, his own brothers, and so on. But at the time, I didn't know how peasant societies worked. I assumed he was bluffing, Puss in Boots style. These were the lands of the Marquis de Carabas.